Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
How many of you want a good laugh? We got some funny things just to start up. Go ahead, media. My hair's weird. It's media what you see when you're up there. What ended in 1896? 1895. Isn't that great? These are creative student answers. I love this. All right, next one. Go look at this one. Word opposite. Good, bad, black, white, original, China. These are great. Okay, you guys aren't laughing hard enough. This is so funny. This one is awesome. Bob has 36 candy bars. He eats 29. What does Bob have now? Diabetes. Bob has diabetes. I love this one. Look at this one. Problems completed without work will not receive full credit. And what a beautiful picture. This boy is preventing me from answering this question. The cheeky teacher. That's unfortunate. I think they should have given like A for all effort. This is another favorite. Expand the following equation. 0 out of 10. I don't know. I think they should have gotten like a 10 out of 10 for like you weren't clear enough. Here's one. One, explain one of the three ways that clouds can be formed. Use diagrams to help illustrate your answer. Isn't that great? Somebody was very intuitive. God is always the right answer. God, sun, clouds. Alice places a prepared slide on her microscope, but when she looks into it, she can't see anything. Suggest one reason why not. I love that one. That one is so good. Oh, this is what's funny, too. Name the quadrilateral. Bob, Sam, Edison, Kate, and Harry. Oh, my gosh. They were like, I had like 25 of these slides. I was laughing so hard for probably about a half an hour. I couldn't pick. So I gave the ones I thought were the best. But creative test answers is what you need to look up if you want to laugh some more. But you know, these are great examples of creativity, which is what we are talking about today. Everyone say creativity. And if you're joining us for the first time, maybe you're online watching, we've been on a series called Reflect, and we've been discovering what it looks like to live as true human beings. Now, just because you are alive doesn't necessarily mean you are living the way a human being was created to live. Was designed to live. And that's what we've been discovering in this series, what it looks like. Because, you know, we believe the Bible story that God created everything. And when it came to human beings, God created us uniquely in what Scripture describes. We're His image bearers. In other words, God made humans to reflect everything great about Himself into creation. In other words, all God's wisdom and God's ideas and God's goodness to reflect that into creation. And so when we live in that way as reflectors or image bearers, that's when we're living out our purpose. That's actually how you find significance in life. You don't discover significance in life by trying to chase after your dreams or trying to just build a great life or a great family or a great something. You discover significance. You will be the most significant, you will experience the most significance in life when you're living out this role of reflecting God's, His everything great about Him into the world that you influence, into the world that you live in. And so we've been looking at what it means to, or what it would look like in our lives to reflect God's emotions. You know what? God has emotions. And I think we would all agree there's a lot of emotion being reflected in our world that's causing more problems than it's causing good, right? You know what we want to learn as God's people? God's given us emotions for a reason, not to react negatively to things, but to reflect Him in ways that will bring transformation, in ways that will change things. We've been looking at what it looks like to reflect God's actions or God's attitude and God's love. Well, today, we're going to look at one of the most probably misunderstood dynamics or qualities of God's nature, His creativity. And this whole thing, when I say that word creativity, how many of you thought of things like business or organization or math? No, you thought like the opposite of math. Maybe you thought artists or music or crafts or weird people. Come on, artists are weird people. I am an artist. I can say artists, creatives are weird people. And if you're a creative person, you take that as a compliment. True? Isn't it true? When people say you're weird, you're like, thank you. That is the greatest compliment anybody. If everybody says, man, you just kind of blend in. That is like, that's like almost like I just want to go like and hide forever. I don't ever want to come out of hiding. I remember somebody once told me that. It was just like, you kind of tame down. Like you're not kind of, and I was just like that. I was like depressed for probably about 3 weeks after that. You know, you're creative when somebody tells you you're weird and you're like, yes. But you know what? Creativity actually is as much about business, as much about the day-home mom with 8 children as it is about the arts. And so that's what we're going to look at. That's my hope, that over the next few minutes that we have together, you are going to discover the creativity that God has put within you. And you're going to see all sorts of new possibility through your world in a whole new way. Some of you are going to get ideas today that you came in here, it was just another Sunday, but you're going to leave with a spark of an idea of something that God is going to download into you today that's going to make a significant difference in the sphere of your world, whether it's home, business, school, whatever it is. How many of you could do with that? Creativity. What is it? What is it not? Well, here it is. Creativity is not art. Creativity is solving a problem. Isn't that great? Creativity is not art. It is solving a problem. And a lot of us, we consider ourselves, or we've said, I'm not creative, because we look at our life and we're not artistic. And I don't know how many conversations I have with people. It's like, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not this. I'm like, you are so creative. You know what you do? Like, this is crazy in how creative you are. But we look at our work, we look at what we can't do, and we go, I can't paint, or I can't draw, I can't do this, and I can't sing, and I'm not creative at all. That is so far from what creativity actually is. And see, creativity is more about, it's not so much gifting as it is calling. Creativity isn't just about gifting, it's about calling. See, there's a big difference between artistic occupation that some people have. Maybe in the world of design, or in the world of art, or in the world of writing, or in the world of, anything that we might think of artistic. There's a difference between somebody that has an artistic occupation and somebody that we have a creative calling that all of us have. Everyone say, I have been called to be creative. You have that capacity. And see, creativity is one of the primary ways that we reflect one of the biggest characteristics of God. See, right in the beginning of the Bible story, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, how many of you know that? God what? God created. You might have heard it at Sunday school, maybe at Bible camp when you were a kid or something. In the beginning, God created. The very first action in the Bible story is creating. That's kind of cool. See, most cultures, every culture, has its own story of where creation came from. How did creation happen? How did we all get here? Whether, maybe you studied Roman culture or ancient Greek culture, some of the Greek and some other ancient culture in school. And a lot of these stories, these creation stories, usually involve some kind of epic battle. It's between this force of evil and this force of good, and they're duking it out, and then boom, out of their collision and out of this huge battle, that's what we have creation. That's what a lot of creation stories, how they're told. Well, in the Bible, it's different. See, God isn't revealed as this warrior. God is revealed as a craftsman. He's revealed as a creator, and there is a big difference. God's nature is creative. There are no two snowflakes that are alike, which is mind-boggling when you consider where we live. Seriously, it is mind-boggling when you see, it's just like, God, how does that even, like, how do you do that? God, how do you create? You know, there's a song that we sing about, God's 2 billion galaxies were formed. You know, how does God do that? Like, there's places out there in outer space that we're like, I don't know what that looks like. God is so creative. Every rose petal has its own unique print, like a fingerprint. Did you know that? Every rose petal. Completely unique. 300,000 species of beetles. Why? I don't know. But God knew. The platypus. Come on. That is creative. Giraffe. What is the purpose of a creature with such a long neck? It's like 4 stories high. Like, why? What is that? God is so great. Things like smell. Why do we need smell? We don't need smell. It would have been nice to not know that there was a difference between poo and flowers. You know, there are places like, is that peanut butter or is that poo? I don't know. Oh, it's poo, you know, or peanut butter, whatever it is. Maybe that would be, but you know, some things, but color, but just think about color. Why do we need color? We don't. But God was so creative. He gave us color. It would have saved a lot of time in the morning getting ready if you didn't have to match up clothes. It would have. So I don't care if it matches or not. Who cares? But here's the thing. We've been created in God's image, this creative nature. And we've been created to reflect that creativity into the world that we live in. We are God's image bearers. We're here on the planet to be creators, not consumers. I'm going to say that again because that needs to get into us. We're here to be creators, not consumers. See, our broken world, our culture that is broken and is not functioning correctly, tells us to, you need this. You need this to be happy. You need this to be fulfilled. You need to acquire this to be this. You need to get more of this in your life to be happy. You need everything about our culture is forming us into this mold of being consumers. But we've been created to be creators. And that's what God is wanting us to do. We're here to express God's creative nature into his creation by innovating and beautifying it and bringing solutions to problems and restoring what's broken. That's what we have been put here on this planet to be creators. Everybody say, I'm a creator. Your number one job function is to create. God's instructions to the human beings that he made were be fruitful and multiply. And that's more than just having babies. It's true. It's more than just having babies. Now, that's part of it, but that is the small part of it. We're here to be fruitful and to multiply the ideas that God gives us. I love this quote from Steve Jobs. Some of you might have heard this before. If you don't know who Steve Jobs is, I am so sorry you do not know this man. He is the creator of the device you're probably holding right now in your hand. But Steve Jobs, he said 1997, this was one of the iconic Apple commercials. He says, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. I love that. You know why? Not just because Steve Jobs is awesome and that's just cool, because how many of you would consider yourself in that crazy category? You're the crazy ones. People said you're a little bit, you don't fit. But I love that. You know what? This is such a great description of what it means to follow Jesus. To the world around us, we look like we're just a little bit crazy. Why would you show up to church on a Sunday morning in July on a rare sunny day when you could be outside at the lake enjoying yourself? Why would you do that? You're crazy. Yeah, because we know what's here. It's so awesome. And we come into God's house and we get energized and we encounter the power of God. We encounter the presence of God. We encounter the people of God that are all weird, just like us. We're the crazy ones. We see our world differently. See, that's what Jesus' followers do. Jesus' followers see the world around them differently. We don't just see what's wrong. We see the potential for what could be. In situations, in people. Some people do. They think we're crazy. Sometimes we feel like we're misfits or like we don't fit in. If you feel that way, man, you're in the right category. Jesus followers don't always fit in. And if you feel too comfortable in your world, you got to ask who you're following. Because if you don't feel just a little bit out of sorts in your world, if you don't feel just a little bit like a misfit in your world, if you fit in too well in your friend or your association circle, you might want to question who you're following. Because we're supposed to stick out. Not in a weird, bad way that everybody goes like, yeah, stay away from those crazy people. But in a way that is almost like, yeah, you're weird, but I kind of like that. Like, I kind of respect them because they just go against the flow. And they're making things better for people and situations. So this is what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus modeled creativity in so many different ways. What does he do? What do you do when you're at a wedding and they run out of wine? You don't go buy it at co-op. You say, those cleaning jugs over there, take a couple scoops out, take it to the wedding MC, and there's your wine. What do you do when you have lunch that you have 5,000 hungry people? How do you feed 5,000 plus? It's probably close to like 10,000 people with all the kids and women. How do you feed that many people and all you got is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Well, you multiply it. You get creative. How do you pay your taxes? Well, you tell one of your coworkers, go fishing. First fish you catch, take that fish, open its mouth. You will find a coin in that fish's mouth. Use it and go pay the taxes that we owe. Isn't that awesome? How many of you are going to go fishing today? What do you do when you've got a blind man that needs to be healed? Well, you spit in the dirt. You make mud out of it. He doesn't know where it comes from. You put it on the blind man's eyes and voila, you have 2 seeing eyes. Jesus was so creative. And how do you talk to a crowd that is hundreds of people pressing in on you and you don't have a microphone? You create a microphone out of a lake. It's called creative physics. You get the first buddy that you can find that's got a boat. You tell him to row you out in the middle of the boat and you start preaching from the boat. How many of you have ever been on the lake? And you can hear people on the, like, it's just like, hey, we can hear what you're saying. How do you help people understand this brand new world that is starting to break in to the world now? And it is so different that if people don't understand it, they're going to miss it. They're going to keep wandering around in their broken lives and in their dysfunction. They're going to miss the good thing that is right here in their midst. How do you get their attention and kind of break their religious molds? Well, you start telling them stories about jewelry and markets and trees and farming and all sorts and treasure hunts and all sorts of other things to get their attention. Jesus was the most creative person that there was. He modeled creativity because he wanted to show what God was like. See, God used creativity to bring a resolution and to rescue broken humanity. What did he do? God saw the mess that we were all in. He saw the world that he had created good was not good anymore. It was bad. So what do? Do you just go, because I'm God, poof, wipe it out and start all over? No. You put a human suit on. You get into that world and you change it from the inside out. That is creative. Every other story, every other legend about history and cultures, every other culture had their higher power or their God or their being or their this, have it be something that would just wipe out the creation because it was so bad. Only the Jesus story had God getting into the middle of the problem to heal it and to rescue and to restore it. That is creative. But Jesus was also creative because he modeled what a human being is supposed to be. We're supposed to respond with creative solution, creative ideas for our world. See, remember, creativity is an art. It's solving a problem. So what does it look like? Creative, different faces of creativity that we might not recognize. What does this actually look like in our day-to-day world? Like, how can you be creative in your sphere that you think this is the worst, this is the absolute opposite end of creativity? I want to present today a thought to consider, is that every sphere is a sphere of creativity. I don't care what your job is, creativity. You know what? Creativity is the doctor being able to get to the chronic health issue that no other doctor has been able to figure out what's wrong. That is creativity. Creativity is the teacher who comes up with a creative, very unique study plan for the student who's struggling. Or the aide who figures out a way to get their special needs child to focus. That is creativity. Creativity is a politician who figures out a way to create unity between two sides that have been duking it out for like decades. And finally someone comes up with an agreement that will bring peace to, that's creative. Creativity is the employee who figures out a way to make things at work work better, work smarter, be more efficient, save money for the company. That is creative. Creativity is a manager or the supervisor who learns how to get two departments that have been like fighting and not working together, now working together. That is creativity. Creativity is a gas attendant who makes their shift the most fun shift ever. Everybody wants to be on that shift. Or whatever field you're in that is kind of like one of those, it's not a great job. Like, you make it the most fun shift that everybody wants to be scheduled with you. That is creativity. Creativity is a young couple who knows how to stretch a very small paycheck to the end of the month without going into debt. Or the day-home mom who knows how to keep like 6 2-year-olds from like running and getting, you know, running out in traffic. That's really creative. It is. Creativity is the entrepreneur that starts a business that employs a dozen people and creates benefits for their family. And creativity is the business owner who's managed to navigate their business through a really bad economic season. You might not think, oh, this is, we haven't done anything. Like, this is terrible. It's tanking. Well, the fact that you're surviving when a lot of others are closing doors is huge. It's creative. Creativity is a 10-year-old who figured out a way to make some extra cash by selling their skills of lawn mowing to their neighbors. It's also the teenager who figured out a way to get their I don't go to church friend to actually come to church. That is creative. Everyone say, I am creative. You are creative. All right, here we go. 5 things that you can do to release more creativity in and through your life. You ready to go? We're going to take our cue from God himself. How did God unlock creation? Well, here we go. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You can follow along in your app if you have it open, or you can look on the screens. It says, now the earth was formless. And in one version it says, the earth was formless and void. An empty darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Number one, creative opportunity starts with a void. It starts with a void where it says the world or the earth was formless and void. That word literally means this. It means waste, empty, chaos, and desolate. So if you happen to be experiencing that anywhere in your life, there is a creative opportunity there that God wants you and he's equipped you to take advantage of. But maybe it's not a void. Maybe you're simply facing lack or problems or messes or uncertainty. Maybe your bank account is lacking. Maybe your finances are in a mess. Maybe your relationships are in a mess. Maybe your marriage is in a mess. Maybe you're facing confusion about what to do. There's chaos. Those are the circumstances, man. Those are things we tend to run from or avoid. But those are the voids that God wants to release his creative potential through you. And the fact that you're facing that problem is a sign that God has equipped you to bring solution to it. And that is a confidence. It's not in your own wisdom, but God has given you that ability. See, because we're made in God's image. We don't have to look at the circumstances and be freaked out by them. We can look at them thinking, God, you have given me the creative capacity to bring solution to this through God's wisdom, God's understanding, through God's power, not our own. And we'll get into how that looks in just a minute. But here's the second thing. Look, let's read on. It says, the Spirit of God, what was God doing over the void? The Spirit of God was hovering over the void. Hovering. Can you imagine God like looking? Whatever God looked like. I don't know, was he being? I don't know. But imagine God looking over this door. He's like, I wonder what's going to happen there. But that word hover means to relax. Why relax? Here's the second one. So number two, relax. Things are a lot easier when you're not tense. You know what relaxing also does? Relaxing shuts off the front part of our brain that is responsible for things like logic organizing, administration, accounting, all of that stuff, that front part of our brain works like a filter to filter out irrelevant information. But here's the thing. Creativity thrives on irrelevant. That's what sparks creativity. So sometimes one of the best things that you can do if you're facing a problem, don't try to find the solution in the field that you work in. Go do something very different and watch what kind of creative ideas start to spark. Relaxing is what we need to do. We don't need to be freaked out by the voice. See, the fact that God's Spirit lives in us, God gives us that capacity to be able to rest and relax in Him. Jude 2 in the Message, it says, relax. Everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything's coming together. Man, some of us, we need to get that verse. You need to get that verse and put it like on your mirror, on your dashboard, somewhere where on your lampshade that you see when you wake up, then wherever you go, put it on your gym bag if that's what you grab when you, the first thing you do when you go outside. God, relax. Relax. Everyone say relax. Everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be us. Look at rest. Everything's coming together. Open your hearts. Love is on the way. That is a promise. Jesus in Matthew 6:31, he says, what I'm trying to do here, I think Jesus was kind of like the disciples. They're all freaking out. And he's like, guys, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. See, if I'm trying to get an answer, get an idea, get a solution, get this, get that, get. If I'm on the get, I can't respond to God's giving. Because God will give me exactly what's needed. And sometimes what we think we need and we're trying to get it, that ain't what we need. God will give us what we need. When you're relaxed, you can rest in God's ability to work through you. Number three, how to get creativity working through you? Look, everyone say look. Sometimes we can miss the opportunities because we're not looking. We're like focused. We're just doing our job. We're focused on the problem. We're focused on our devices. You know, they say today that the number one robber of creativity is technology, because technology is hijacking the downtime. That time when we didn't have a little device to look at or, you know, make us look like we're occupied doing something so we don't have to talk to strangers, you know, we fill our minds with. What happens is that time, remember when you just used to sit and wait for your mom to pick you up? I remember that. It's like, oh, when are you going to be here? Or you're waiting in line or whatever it is, or, you know, daydreaming or unstructured time in our life. Now it's filled by technology, which is actually sucking up all of the creative imagination time our brain needs. Your brain just needs downtime. We need to create more thinking space in our world to let creativity come. So when we're not just, and I love this, is that God was hovering. He wasn't looking away from the problem. He was looking at it. He was hovering. He's looking at what's going on. And we need to look. I love this story. Someone once said that their grandfather used to do pop quizzes on them to train them to be observant. Didn't matter where they were at. They're walking. Okay, right now, quickly. How many pictures were on the wall that we were just in that room? Isn't that great? How many chairs were set up? How many tables were in the restaurant we just left? Did you know how many servers there were? Like anything, and it was just, anything was fair game. But it taught the kid how to be observant. Isn't that great? Some of you parents can do that with your kids. Right now, how many Welcome Home Team people were on this morning? I don't know. Shake things up. Number four, everyone say number four. Shake things up. You know what else that word hover means? It means to flutter, to shake, to flutter. How many of you ever kind of got nervous energy right before you're ready to do something? You're kind of like, okay, here we go. I can take this on. Isn't it true? Come on, you're talking. Or if you're trying to get an idea, you're holding your pen and it's like, blah, 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 you're flicking your pen. Or you're tapping your foot, taking a test. You're shaking your leg. What is it? Come on, you know that nervous energy. Kids are really good for this. When they see something that's really cool that's going to happen, they're like, oh, I can't wait. They're like, okay, what is that? Shaking things up. That's exactly the picture of the Trinity over creation. We're told that in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to read it. You can read it Write down Proverbs 8. You can see it describes wisdom, which is a pre-glimpse of Jesus. We won't get into that because that's confusing. But here we have the Trinity over creation. And can you imagine that we see usually the pictures of God? They're so staunch. It's like, oh, the creator. He's like, you know, stuffy dad. We have the Trinity all a flutter looking over this dark void. And they're like, oh, this is so exciting. What are you going to make, God? Come on, make the giraffe. What? Long hands. You know, I just love that when they do the balloons or the balloon animals. It's like, there goes the neck. Platypus. That's weird. Let's throw them off with evolution with that one. How about monkey? There's another one that'll make him go crazy. Trying to match that up with humans will make him just enough alike to really throw them off. Plants. Here goes 200. No, we need 100,000 more beetles. Poof. Butterflies. Come on, they were all excited. Come on, you want more creative energy? You gotta shake things up. Everyone say shake things up. You gotta get out of your routine. Sometimes something as simple as taking a different routine home from or to work will shake up the creative juices in your head. We gotta get ourselves out of our routines, out of our rusty, dusty, just kind of going through life on autopilot. Be like a kid again. Childlike curiosity. Kids are notorious for asking why. Why? Why? Some of you got problems. You should just go get a cardboard box, sit in it, and just imagine what could be. I'm serious. You would be shocked at what kind of solutions and ideas you might be able to find. And here's the last one. Number 5. Everyone say, let there be. Genesis 1. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. In other words, you got to take a chance. You got to let. You got to take a risk. Let there be. See, we aren't the ones to bring change. We aren't the ones that have the healing. We aren't the ones that have the wisdom. We aren't the ones that have the answers. It's the life and power of God flowing through us that is going to bring the solution to whatever the problem is in your sphere of life, whatever the void is in your sphere of life. It's the power of God, and God is simply asking, will you let my wisdom come for this situation? Will you let my provision come? Will you let my goodness come? Will you let my kindness flow through you? Will you let my compassion flow through you? Will you let my healing flow through you? Will you let my encouragement and my forgiveness and my love flow through you? Will you let me reflect myself in a creative way through you that you are going to be so blown away by? Because of the transformation that is going to come, simply will you let me turn on the light through you? I'm going to invite you to stand. And then when you're standing, I want you to close your eyes. And if you could also be so bold, you know what? I'm going to pray here in a minute. I am believing so strongly that God is going to release a new creative ability to every single person in this room, but particularly to those that are in some situations where you're just like, okay, I really need a creative solution for this thing. It might be personal, it might be business, maybe you're stuck, maybe you are one of those artistic, creative people, but you've been in a season where you're stuck. I am believing that God is going to unlock something in you today. Some of you, I believe God is going to download a seed, not the full-blown idea, but a seed idea that is going to be a creative business endeavor that isn't just about making you money. It's about transforming some area of our world that is broken. God is going to give you a business idea to do that. Some of you, God is going to give you a creative solution for a long-standing issue in your family line. That your family, you look at everybody has this, whatever that fill in the blank problem is. God is going to give you a creative way to bring solution, to bring his healing, to make it right. And I want to invite you, if you'd be so bold, to lift your hands as a way of just saying, is to receiving it. And you know what? If you've never done that before, here's a great opportunity to let something new happen. Just take a chance and let yourself be shocked at what God might download, what God might deposit into your heart today. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Say, God, thank you for every void that I see in my life. God, I thank you for your power, your creative ability that you've created me with. And God, in the name of Jesus, I receive your creative ability to bring creative solution, creative possibility to the void. Thank you for ideas, for solution, for a new perspective. God, I thank you for a fresh creative ability to bring transformation to my world in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray right now. God, I pray especially for those that are, Father, in big spheres of influence. God, where their decisions affect a lot of people or even affect our world and our society in big ways. And God, I speak a release of fresh creative ability. God, I speak an unlocking of that creative reservoir. Father, a new well that was never there before. God, I just speak release of ideas and solutions. I want to just, can you put your hands down for a minute? I want to pray for those that you specifically feel like there's been something turning in the back of your head where you felt this anxious. I feel like I should do something in the area of business or start something, or I might have an idea for an invention or something like that. Is that anybody in the room, if that relates to you, if you just want to put up your hand, everybody just keep your eyes closed. I just want to pray specifically for any of you in that area of business, anybody in the area of, I've got an idea. I don't even know if it's a God thing. It's kind of like weird, but Father, these individuals, God, I agree right now with them that this is going to be a season of release of your creative ability. God, I speak a release of that. Father, whatever the blockage is, God, I thank you that that is gone. And I thank you for the download today. New ideas, a fresh flow of creative release that's going to bring solution, that's going to bring a brand new endeavor, that's going to give birth to something that is going to bring transformation and your healing power to the world we live in. I'm going to bring your blessing to people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One more prayer. You can put your hands down, but keep your eyes closed. I want to pray. And maybe you're watching online. You know what? How does all this start? It starts by saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Our own ability as humans, we don't have what it takes. But following Jesus is where the adventure begins. And Jesus wants to lead you into becoming and living as a true human that he created and he made you to be, that he went to the cross and died for, and he rose again to make possible the release of God's new creation life for every one of us to live in. We don't have to live broken. We don't have to live out of our own limited human self, but we can live in the power of new creation life. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. Can you pray with me? Just say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done, for dying on the cross, for rising again, for releasing new creation life to me, to the world I live in. I say yes to following you and living in this reality. Jesus, thank you for a brand new start today. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God thanks. Can we do that?
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.